Oh, yeah. Mega Bear.
Okay, at the narrow passage. If anybody else has ever heard this saying,
Wait, where are we looking?
the screen.
After the narrow passage, there's no brother and no friend.
Narrow passage, there's no brother and no friend. Push comes to shove, everyone's out for themselves. Don't trust anyone else. Supposedly that's a better one. Arab proverb, I don't know. There was a novel called The Narrow Passage that quoted that. I remember that. Right? But you can't, when things are critical, you can't then count on everyone. And we'll see how that fits in with Mishlei. But for that, we are on Perek Yud Chet, Pasuk Tet Vav. We're still talking about wisdom. How do we acquire wisdom? And our understanding heart acquires knowledge. Here we go. The heart of discerning gets knowledge. How? The ear of the wise seeks knowledge. We've said that before, that the way to become wise is to listen. Spend less time talking, spend more time listening. Then Matan Adam Yarchiv Lo, and translate here as a man's gift makes room for him, makes things more roomy. The great space. Yanchenu, and replace him before the great. Tzadik harishon brivo, and that the person who comes first always seems right. That's harishon brivo, someone who's talking to you, so who comes first in an argument that it seems to be tzadik, uvare ehu v'chokro, until the other one comes and questions and examines him there. So we look at those psukim. And that the idea of a matan adam yarchiv lo, that giving, being generous, opens things up. It opens doors, and that's where Rabbi Yonah puts it. Bir hayin ki ish matan, that someone who's generous, someone who's willing to give, yetzer lo shem, will become known. Will get a reputation. V'yeshemu b'chol, and everyone's going to know. And so anywhere the person goes, Yakireu, they'll recognize him, Latov, Vishapu, they realize that he's good and praise him. That's what opens doors. You know you're generous, people will let you in. Either Faresh, Yarchi Blo, and you can say that Yarchi Blo means making more space, things will become broader. Yarbelo Avim, he'll get more friends. Kimar Bito Avim, Yirbe Shalom. Because with more friends, you'll have more peace. He won't have stress. So be generous, give things away, don't hold it for yourself, and you'll live a happier life. And the Midrash talks about and describes what is it, the specific kind of generosity we call a matching grant. Right? That's how you that your generosity increases. And this is a description of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Reish Lakish, Azel el Batsra, went to Batsra, which is Batsra, sitting in Iraq. Havei Taman Chad Bar Nash, and there was somebody, a man there. Havei Shmei Abba Yudin Ramai. His name was Abba Yudin the Ramai, which literally means the swindler.
What?
Swindler, cheat.
Oh, cheater, yeah.
Right, Chas V'Shalom, lo hava Ramai, and Chas V'Shalom, don't think he actually was a swindler, right? Ela d'havei rame b'mitzuta, but he was rame, he was elevated in his mitzvot, with his mitzvot. Ramai, he was great. What would he do? Kadhavin paskin kol ama, when people were looking for donations, havei pasik kol kabel kol hon. He would say, okay, I will match what everyone else gives. Not to Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, but Yeshua it's slow. And so Reish Lakish was very impressed by this low generosity and brought him there. And Bakarala Pasuk Zen said about this, that's what this Pasuk, Matan Adam Yarchiv Lo, that the gift of a person will increase. And the way the Mishlei understands this, Matan Adam, it's the gifts of others. Yarchiv Lo increases his own donations. And we obviously have an example of that in St. Louis. The Steinberg Foundation famously only gives matching grants. It is not only to be generous, but encourage others to be generous as well. You know, the Steinberg Foundation's highest funding priority is support projects that build thriving Jewish communities. We value an inclusive and pluralistic approach to Jewish life. We favor grantees that use our fundings to create a ripple effect. That is, incentives or matching dollars that inspires others to give. That's the Matana Dam Yachiblo. The more you give, the more it encourages others to give. It increases all the donations. But in Mishlei, we're not so much talking about generosity with money, but we're talking about wisdom. I'm being generous with giving that out. So that also increases your wisdom. The more you give it away, the more you have. Okay, and that's the Shev Yehuda, which is a it was a Talmud of the Gra commentary on Mishlei. Al Yamar Rav, that a rabbi, a teacher shouldn't say, Lama Atriach Batzmi, why should I bother? Why should I stress myself? Litein lifneihem, to teach others, lavinam, and make them understand kol davar. Make them understand everything. But mashallah, when they didn't have to work, I had to work to understand it. Why should I explain it to somebody else? That's what it means to say, that the more you would give, the more you have, a perish. But the more I give to students, the more I teach, the more I will understand. It says the next part of the pasuk is. Literally brings him before a great man, right? It opens doors, literally. And here it's Perish Yotir Mashalamami Rabotav, Hagadolim, that Lifnei meaning more than what you learn from the Gedolim, Yilmo. You learn more from students. Mitamidav from your little students, Imo Sharabarebi, as we have the famous quote that said, Harbei Lamaitim, I quote this all the time. That I've learned much from my teachers, Mir Chaverai, and I learned more from my colleagues, my friends. They tell me, Da, you tell me, cool up. I learn from my students more than anything else. That's Medan Adam. You want to learn, listen to others, and be willing to teach. And then, Shev Yehuda connects it to the next pasuk. The next pasuk is Tzadik HaRishon Brivo. That he who pleads his cause first seems right until another comes and questions him. Which seems like a statement about court cases, right? Everyone seems right when you listen to them, and then the other person comes and you say, well, maybe you're right also. Okay, that's where the Malbim puts it. It's about a judge. Amar, im tircha ladun, if you want to judge something, but tachshav ki tzadik ez la'shofet, and you're going to the judge and present your case. Oh, yes, the first person presents will sound right. But the next person will come and cause him to be quick to question that. And you don't know how things are going to be decided, and how your claims in court are going to be contradicted. So be careful. The Shema Yehuda talks about is how we learn, how we think. Right? We always think that we're right. So we always make the arguments in our own heads, and we always win all the arguments when we're arguing with ourselves, right? We have to really get to stop and listen to what other people say. And the Shem Yehuda says, "Behavi raya the dvarav midivrei Torah," and there's a proof from an example in the Torah. What was that proof? That was in Vayikra and Parashat Shemini. After Netan Avihu, Aaron's sons bring Avodah Zarah, and they're killed. And Moshe tells Aaron, "No, you still need to finish the service. You still need to eat all the karbanot that you're supposed to eat because you're still serving as the Kohen. You can't start mourning right now." We know the story. And Moshe tells Aaron and Eleazar and Tamar, the two remaining sons, take the flower offering and otarot that is still left, meshe Hashem, that was left from the sacrifices, matzo, and you'll eat that flower offering as in unleavened bread. You'll eat make matzo just like you should. Eat it next to the mizbeach. He because it is holy. You still need to participate in the ritual here. Kadosh, you'll eat it in the holy place. Who may say Hashem? This is the rule. This is the way I was commanded. And then he looks. That's the Seir Chatat, the Rosh Darash Moshe Ben Yisrael. And then for the goat that was part of the Chatat offering, the Rosh Chodesh, it was Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh Chatat, Moshe examined the Rosh Darash. He tried to figure out what happened. And he says it was burnt. It wasn't eaten. It was supposed to be eaten. The Zakat was supposed to be eaten by the Kohanim, and it wasn't. Like Tzof Elazar v'Itamar ben Aaron. And Tamim Lamar, and he became furious with Elazar and Aaron. They said, Madua lo achaltem et hachatat, makom hakodesh, why didn't you eat this? Eat the chatat in the mikdash, ki kodesh kodeshim hi, because it is holy of holies. That's what you're supposed to do. So tana talachem was said to the bon haidah, and it was given to you that the Kohanim eat, and that will be macha. Now that will act as a chatat for the people, l'chaper ham to atone for them, before Hashem, before God. Didn't they already offer that? They sprinkled the blood on the mizbeach. You should have eaten it. You shouldn't have burnt it. So Moshe is angry with Aaron's sons, and Aaron tells Moshe, "We offered the chatat on the mizbeach, and the of Hashem. This happened to me. Now my sons died. If we I had eaten it, Hayom my Hashem, would that have been good?" You get, and the understanding is that, you know, you're he's arguing that the chatot of the actual mizbeach, the offerings of that day. Yes, I understand why you can't stop that. But Rosh Chodesh one, the one that's going to be offered every Rosh Chodesh, that I'm still an owner. I'm still an avelut. I can't eat that. Hashem, would that God want that? And it's by Yishma Moshe. Moshe heard that. And you can't hear Rocky barking, but I can't hear my things. And Moshe listened to what Aaron said, and that was good and agreed. I was when Moshe says, "No, I was wrong. I shouldn't have been angry. You're right. You did the right thing." The Gemara says it. Aaron says, "Shemelo shamata el." Now, what you heard, O Moshe, the rule that we're supposed to keep going and eat the chatat, that was only on the kedushim of the moment, part of the Chanukah, the dedication of the Mishkan. The Bekodshei Dora, but for these sacrifices that are part of the regular ones that are offered for generations, Kavachomi Maser. I learned that. Yeah, I learned this from Maser. Ma Maser that Maser, which is much less stringent. Amrat Torah lo achalti bonim mena, that you're not allowed to eat maaser when in a state of eininut, when you're in a state of mourning. Kodshei Dorot lo kosher kentzuri for kadashim, which are much more strict. You shouldn't eat that. Miad vayishma Moshe v'tabei nav. So Moshe heard his halachic reasoning, and it was good in his eyes. He agreed. Hodav lo bush Moshe lo mar lo shemati. Moshe agreed, was not ashamed to say, "Nope, I was wrong. I didn't know that." Alamar Shamati Shachai. And I said, "Yep, I should have known the answer, but I forgot." So he said, "That's what this is. That's what it's Tzadik HaRishon Brivo. Someone who always thinks that they're right initially." Then Moshe, Uvare Eiv. So Aaron, when Aaron comes and questions him, and that's how you become wise, by accepting the fact that even though you know you're right, but listen to someone else who might disagree, might find you. Be willing to accept that. When you flab, this is that's a great explanation and close to the meaning of what Shlomo's trying to say here. And then Shlomo switches tacts to talk about disputes. That a goral, a lottery, ends strife. Arguments. There we go. The lot settles disputes. Uven atzumim yafrid, and separates the strong. Ach nifsha, a betrayed brother, mikriyat oz, is worse than a fortified tower, a fortified city. Midyanim and strife, kivriach armon, and arguments that strife, disagreement is like the bars of a palace. What does that mean? So he's praising the Gerah, casting lots. by flipping a coin, taking these randomly as a way of solving arguments. If you can't decide, then random choice is a good way to make decisions. Yonah says, "Well, it's good to divide things up by lots, randomly. That's the right way to divide things up. Because it stops arguments. You can't decide any other way. What should say? One person won't be jealous of the others. He'll say, well, God made it happen, right? That you say, you look at the goral, the lots, as determining the will of Hashem. That's the way they divide it up, Eretz Yisrael, is by lots. You know, you have no control over it. Hashem does that. That's in the end of Sefer Bamidbar. You can divide the land up. The Nachla's inheritance from Mispar Shemot according to the numbers of the names. The Rav
Oh, yeah,
Tabernachlato.
that's like a contradiction, though.
What?
Because first of all, it's in God's hands how it's going to be divided up. But
Yes.
then it's divided up based on how many people are in each David and all that kind of
Ah,
stuff.
that's okay. So that's the point. That becomes a huge argument. Ramban goes on for pages on that question. So we're not going to figure that out. But yeah, so I mean, so the Ramban understands that each individual family, you know, so would have a given portion, and therefore the largest ones would have more because there'd be more people there. But which exact portion was given out randomly? Right. I mean, but you're right that there's a contradiction. So it's hard to figure out exactly what the algorithm was that they used. But it says, that larger ones get more inheritance, the small get less. Each of the fief, everyone gets according to their census. But it should be divided by lots. So, really, the lots can tell where, but exactly the size and how much is by people. The divided by the tribes. And according to the lottery, it's the inheritance should be divided ben ra'av lema'at, whether it's for larger or smaller. And the other side of that, if you assume Hashem is guiding it, that it's all appropriate and all going to work out exactly the way it's supposed to. What does that mean for us, right? We're not going to assume that every time I can flip a coin, God's saying this is what it's supposed to be. Hashem's saying a message every time I make a random decision. But nonetheless, flipping coins is a good way to stop fights. It's a good idea. And that's the idea of divination, right? Which literally means asking God. But sorry, what's around there? It's useful even if God isn't involved. Just being random. And this is talks. A lot of people have talked about divination, looking at the entrails of birds, reading tea leaves. It's all random. Okay. This is a source by talking about programming. Divination is a practice of an occultic ritual as an aid to decision making. Divination can be practiced in many ways, including sortilege. There's our word of the day, which is the casting of lots. You can use that in a sentence. Read tea leaves, animal entrails, random texts, like the goral of the gra, where you open your open the chumash up, poke a pin in, and where the word ends up is telling you something. And more. Divination has been dismissed as superstition since antiquity. The Greek scholar Lucian derided divination already in the second century, yet the practice persists. Developments in mathematics and computer science in the 20th century shed new light on the power of divination. Unless we believe that divination truly allows consult the divine, okay, which I'm not assuming that, even though by the dividing up the Nachla of Eretz Yisrael, certainly that was Hashem's hand, me flipping coin is not. Still, we can view it simply as a form of randomization, which is recognized as a powerful construct in game theory and algorithm design. There's some points where the best decision is to do it randomly. I can't make a decision. The classic game theory example is the game of I would call it rock, paper, scissors. You know what rock, paper, scissors, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There's no optimal solution. There's no what we call a Nash equilibrium where you can get you can't do better if everybody else remains the same by pure strategy. But there is a nasty equilibrium in which both players choose their actions uniformly at random. Random, then no one can predict what I'm going to do. If I have some actual strategy, then my opponent's going to predict what I'm going to do and I'm going to lose. It's random, it works. And that first came out in a paper from 1957 by a guy named Omar Khayyam Moore. I don't know who he was. I should track this paper down. Wait, but that the object of the paper suggests a new interpretation of some aspects of divination. It seems safe to assume that human beings require a functional equivalent to a table of random numbers if they are to avoid unwitting irregularities in their behavior, which can be utilized by adversaries. That's what the lottery is. And the others, this is another article about this idea that divination is found in most human societies, but there's little systematic research to explain one, why it's persuasive, and two, why it is required for important collective decision in many small-scale societies. Common features of human communication cooperation may help address both questions. High recurrent feature of divination is ostensive detachment, which means that no one is actually involved in making the decision, leaving it up to chance. So if we're dividing something up and we're doing it randomly, you can't claim I influenced the decision. Everyone see this is just a roll of dice. A demonstration that the dividers are not the authors of the statements they utter. As a consequence, people spontaneously interpret divination as less likely than other statements to be influenced by anyone's intentions or interests. This is enough to give divination an epistemic advantage, right? For epistemic means for knowing, for deciding things. That's what it means that midanim yashbita goro. So I leave it as something that's not up to me. You're not going to claim I was involved and I manipulated the decision. This advantage is all the more important in situations where a diagnosis will create differential costs and benefits, for example, determining who is responsible for someone's misfortune in a small scale community. Divinatory statements provide a version of the situation that most participants are motivated to agree with, as it provides a focal point for efficient coordination at a minimal cost to almost all participants, which answers question two, which is why it's required. You make decisions and then somebody may lose, but you know it was random, so I can't blame anybody. And so the next time I may be the one. So having a random number generator minimizes conflict. That's beyond Ruach Hashem, and that's especially true within no good answer. Like rock, paper, scissors. There's no right answer. And there's no right answer in family disputes, which is the next line. Right? Ach nifsha mikiryat oz, that a brother who is wronged is worse. Is harder to get over than a fortified city. Right, this is Rabbeinu Yonah on this. So once Shlomo says, you know, if you need to divide something up, use a lottery. Use a random number generator, because that stops arguments. And people want to be jealous of one another. Hopefully, and where that comes up most obviously is dividing up an estate among brothers, dividing the inheritance from a father. Amar k'ma yesha achim lizaher al madon, and those brothers need to be careful about the arguing. Those family feuds last forever. And Ruth is nodding her head here, right? You've got the cousins who haven't talked to each other for generations, right?
Yeah, actually, not on my side, but on Andy's side, it's fascinating. But also, I've read a lot about estrangement. That's one of the hot topics these days, family estrangement. It's really right up there in Mishlei and in today's world.
Right. That's the ach nifsha, the betrayed brother. Once it gets to that point, it's like these mikiryat oz. Everybody translates it here as a difficult and a fortified city. That's what it says. Amar
That's a great
k'mash
line.
yesh l'chem l'zaher
What a line, harder than a fortified, capturing a fortified city.
al-madan. Right. It's just completely locked up. You're never gonna get in. Then you have vo min ha-madon al-sina ve'eiva, because they could go from disagreement to hatred and despising each other. So one brother who betrays, Mored Bachir, rebels against the others. Kashe Oz. This is tougher than a fortified city. Meaning, that it is harder, it's worse for the brother. When one of the others betrays them, it's worse than being making enemies in an entire fortified city. You try to attack that. Karovanesek, more than, it's not other than just, because what the thing about families, that they can cause real damage. That damage is so close to happening. From hatred of a brother, because he knows all of the family secrets. And they can hurt. This stranger can't hurt you much as family can. When Meyachola knows how to hurt him. And therefore, Mendanim can Briach Ramon, and those arguments are like the Briach, the bars of the castle. They seal it closed. Mendanim, Asher Ben Achim, that this disagreement among brothers. That they're as tough as the bars that seal the doors of the palace. That no one can open them. You can't break the bars. No way to break in there and start to make peace. It just builds on itself. The hatred is so strong between them. Betraying the brother, God, out of nefesh, and it affects the soul. Again, it's personal. I argue with the stranger, I argue with the stranger. Okay, get over that. Argue with a brother, you're never going to stop. It's much worse, much more personal, therefore much harder to overcome than the argument with the stranger. So family feuds last forever. They last for generations. So avoid them. And so then he continues on talking about minimizing dispute. How you minimize dispute, you watch what you say. We've had this concept before. We pre-ish, tisba bitno, that we pre-pi-ish, that's the fruit of the words of a person, or what satisfies them. To what smatav yispa, and he'll be satisfied with the produce of his lips, right? It's what you say, which is what you say that nourishes you, that keeps you strong. And therefore, mavet b'chayim b'yad ha'lashon, life and death are in the hands of the tongue. Bo'aveha yochal priya, someone who loves it, someone who respects the power of language, will enjoy the fruits of that, will not lose. And that concept that, with what you say, holds the power of life and death has come up in Mishlei over and over again. This is, we've talked about many times, the famous metaphor in the Midrash here. It's worth looking at. I didn't edit this, so hopefully it makes sense. Melach Natala Lamut. Okay, this is something that happened. The king of Persia was ill, was going to die. Rofim, the doctors told him, okay, the only thing we can do, the only thing to do that'll cure you is the milk of a lion, lioness. We can make medicine out of that, we'll cure you. And so one of the advisors said, Imratsonacha Eleachani. Okay. I can go get a lion. Well, I'll milk a lion for you. Give me 10 goats. Lo, they gave him the goats. He's gonna go find the lion, lioness. Gubar, he went to the lion's den, Guria, and he finds a lioness that's nursing her cubs. Yom Rishon, so he sends a goat to the lioness and eats it. Yom Sheni, next day, Ma'at, gets a little closer, gives another goat. He gets closer and closer. You figure that he's going to go. Finally, playing with the lion. The lioness trusts him. So he gets the lion. He gets the milk. That's the introduction to the story. He's got to get the lion's milk back to this kid, the king. He's halfway home. Yashani, he's asleep. He had a dream. That his body parts. We're all arguing with one another. It's a weird dream. Amara Glaim, his feet said, that we, the feet, are the most important body parts. Right? If feet didn't work, you'd never be able to bring this milk back to the king. You'll never get rewarded. The hand said, "No, ain't tenu. No, we're most important. Nothing's like us. Anu that if we weren't there to actually milk this lioness, you would have done anything." And I am Amru. The I said, "I don't lamala kol. No, we're better than everyone." If we didn't, if you couldn't see where you were going, not said nothing would have happened. Now, Lev Amar, the heart said, "Ani lamala min hakol, I am more important than all of you." So, Mali no tati lo etzah, because Lev in the sense of mind, if we hadn't thought about the plan, lo hu il klum, nothing would have helped. And Lashon Amar, and the tongue says, "Amar laham lo iti ani ma'itim osim. If it weren't for me, what would you have done?" Anu lo kol and all the rest of the body parts looked at the tongue and said, "Amru lo yirta lo demot elenu." Wait. You didn't do anything here. You shouldn't be part of this argument. You were completely worthless. You're in a closed mouth. You're sitting there in the darkness. Oh, you don't have any bones. You have no strength. What's the point of the tongue? So the tongue answered, "No. By the end of the day, you're gonna say that I'm the ruler over all of you." So the person wakes up and he's terrified of what this dream means. He doesn't know. He keeps Mishato. He gets up, and he walk goes away. He goes back to the camera. Halach kalvia, and here it is, the milk of a dog. He misspoke. Instead of Levaya, meaning lion, he said Kalvia, meaning a dog. Miad Katzaf HaMelech, so the king gets furious at him, like, "You're making a joke out of me. I asked for a lion, you give me a dog." The Tzivat HaTotah, he says, "Hang them," proving that obviously the power of the tongue to mess everything up in one word. Sheaholech Litzalev, when he was going to be hanged, they call Avrim Bochim, all the limbs were crying. So the tongue says, "Hello, Marty, she'ein bechem mamash. I told you that you have no power. Imani matzil etchem. And so if I save you, totally she'ani melachem, you need to acknowledge that I rule over you." Armel hen. So all the body parts said, fine, just save us." The tongue he says, starts speaking. It says, "And shivena samelach v'yeshu." I said, "No, wait, bring back to the king. I misspoke." Amarlo. Amarlo, so the king says, "Lama tziviti la." Oh no, he says to the king, "Lama tziviti zo tarav zo schara. Why do you command me? This is the reward for what I did." Amarlo, mitati. No, I said, the king says that you brought me the milk of a dog. The doctor says it's gotta be a lion. You're gonna make me die. Amarlo. Menu. And no, this is fine. Don't worry about it. This will be, we will, you will be healed through this. Know that the word kalvaya that I use actually means lion. No, this was a lion film. It really was. So the doctors took it and tested it. Yes, yeah, this actually is the lion's milk. We can make the medicine, whatever that was. And so the tongue sentenced him to death. The tongue saves him. So the said, "Now we now acknowledge you. You said the right thing, and that's Abiyomer. That's what it means. It's a cute story, but the idea is that what you say determines life or death. It is in an instant. Careful what you say." And then we go to what seems to be a completely out of place pasuk. After all about arguments and the family feuds, we have matzah isha matzah tov. Whoever finds a wife finds a good thing, the afik ratzom Hashem, and brings out favor from Hashem. Which sounds like a good thing, right? Finding a spouse, it's a good thing. And this idea of matzah isha matzah tov, Truly echoes Breshu. Hashem says, "Vayomer Hashem lo tov heyot adam avado." It's not good for Adam to be alone. Esed lo ezek negdo. So when you've gotten the Yishad to go with the east, now you have tov. And so David says, "Matzah tov." When you're finding Yishad, you find tov. Kihi azra tov ba'amamo. Because you put them together. They can work together. Yishai will help the Ish with his work, Yifek Ratzon Hashem, and that will induce favor from Hashem. Ki metzli tov menachet, that one's wife will save the man from sin. So I hope so. What's it doing here? What does it mean? And is it always tov? Is Matzah Ish always tov? Right? Shlomo has some bad experiences with women. We know that. So based on the story of
Yeah,
Shlomo.
on number 25, it says, Kihi Ezra Tov Amalo. And so Amala is work, but it also could be like service, no?
Service in the sense of what?
You know, like serving Hashem.
It can be. The Amal usually is hard work, but it's some in some sense. But yeah, that's definitely the implication of that Matzilato Menachet, right? Saving from sin, that you need to have a pair, right? You have to work together. But Shlomo's had nothing but trouble from women. And he actually says that in Kohelet, right? This is famous. Pasuk, motzi ani mar mimavet. I have found that what is something that is worth it was bitterer than more bitter than death. Etaisha, women.
Didn't he
Ashahim.
have like all these wives?
He did.
And you're only supposed to have X numbers, but he had a lot more than
He had
you're
a
supposed
lot of
to.
wives, and they brought all their various gods in. And he didn't have them all hurt in any sense. Still in trouble with them, which is why he's all the metaphors in Mishlei are all a lot of them are very much women oriented. So he has this pasuk, all right, that women are more bitter than death. She's all traps. Heart is destruction. Asurim yader, hands are chains, manacles. Tov l'fnei Someone, it is a gift of God. It's good for God to escape from her. The chotei yilakedba, and the sinner will be trapped by her. The motzeh. That's the motzeh ni mar mimavet ha'isha. So Mama says that no, it's not matzah isha is automatically matzah tov, but there should be a conjunction there. That's Hamotze Isha Umatzato. Someone who finds a wife, who's going to get a spouse, let's make it non-gender specific, and finds it is good. You find a good spouse, be a fake ratzon, and therefore brings out the ratzon Hashem. And Hashem Matze Isha Tovah Mitzido. He finds a good wife by his side, got me a fake ratzon Mitzad Isha, and then she does good for him. Shehi rotzeh bo, and she want, likes him. U'masig tov mimena, he will get good from her. Zoti mi'Hashem, that is all from Hashem. That's yafek ratzon, it is mi'Hashem. That's a gift of God. Bashkechad Hashem tuvo, to find a good wife, find a good spouse, find a good shidduch. That's a gift from Hashem. Tov yafek ratzon. You do good for her, she does good for you. But the Gemara says no. It's Matzah Isha Matzah Tov and Motzeni Mar Mimavet HaYisha, because there are two kinds of Yisha to be found. This is Gemara Brachot. In the West, in Israel, Kinasiv Inish Itata. When a man marries a woman after the wedding, Amri Lehachi, people would ask him, Matzah or Motzeh? Did you find or are you finding? Literally, because that's the words of the pasuk here. Matzah found. It says matzah isha matzah tov yafek ratzon mi'Hashem. That's our pasuk. Umotze. That's the grammar in the pasuk in Kohelet, which is motzeni mar mimavet ha'isha. You're basically asking the guy. Well, do you find a good wife? That's a tov. You find mar mimavet. Is it worse than death? Which is a terrible thing to ask a newlywed. Okay. Because you're not supposed to, you're supposed to always look, say positive things. Don't ask, oh, was it as bad as you thought? No, you're supposed to say, Kala, right? Kala Na'aba Chasuda, right? She's beautiful. Everything's beautiful. Always look on the positive side. So this was an interpretation from the portal Daf Yomi. There's a note there that said, we're reading Gemara wrong. Okay, the question of matzah or motzah, is it tov or is it mar mimavet? It's not you're not asking the groom about his bride. You're asking the groom about what are you trying to get out of the marriage. This is where you try to explain this. Is it right to ask the groom, a newlywed, matzah motzah in this sense, which these two psukim apply? But namtim b'shalom b'shalom hi. If you want to know how the marriage is going to work out, you have to wait a couple of years. See how it works out. You can't ask a newlywed. So what's this question? Tiras Harav, I get off anonymously. Someone answers. Suzushi lets Harich Lishol, Kolchata. No, this is a question that you have to ask every group. What are you looking for? What are you hoping to matzah to find? Imatamachapes Isha, if it's matzah Isha, you're looking for a wife, then matzah Isha matzah tov. That's good. That will work out. You're looking for someone and other to do chesed to. That works out. You're the motzeh, where it's motzeh ani, looking for me. It's all about me. What can she do for me? You're seeking out someone to do for you. That's motzeh ani mamamalek. That's going to end up being better. You have to be giving. That's what the Matzah Isha Matzah Tov is about. Tamachapeseta ani. You're looking about out from the me, the ego, shalcha. Timsarak marmi mavet atesha. You'll find that your relationship with the wife will be nothing but bitterness. Right? The Jew has to seek out to do good to chesed, grace to the other. Tovatoi, she did not just look for your own personal good. That's what a relationship should be. And if you're looking for a spouse to fill your needs, that's the motzeh ani. It's all about me. Then the relationship will fail. You have to look at it as matzah isha matzah tov. That's a statement. You found someone else you can give to. That's a good thing. It'll work out as long as I'm looking for the other's needs. So I think that fits in here because I think they're metaphors. We have the achaposheya, the betrayed brother, the family feud that lasts forever, that they won't talk to each other across generations. And then we have the matzah isha matzah tov. There are two models, how you deal with friends and colleagues, with anyone you come in contact with. Right? One side's the ish nifsha, the offended brother. That's family that'll stick together and defend you until they won't. Until it comes to that point of the narrow passage, there's no brother, no friend. Can't count to the family there, but the other model is the relationship that you create. That's the matzah isha matzah tov. That's what I'm saying that Hashem says it's an ezer kenegdo. As Rashi said, ezer kenegdo means zacha ezer. If you do deserve it, you're supposed to be a help. Lo zacha, you don't deserve the help. Kenegdo, Lachem will fight against. That's part of what it is to have that kind of relationship is being willing to fight, criticize, argue when necessary, but still respect the other one and still realize you're in this together. Work together, that's the relationship that works. That's the Yafek Ratzon Mi Hashem that will provide favor from Hashem. And we'll conclude with the quote from Harry Potter, which we remember, that it takes a great deal of bravery to stand up to our enemies, but just as much to stand up to our friends. That's what an Ezer Kenegdo, that's in a relationship that lasts, that's Matzah Isha Matzah Tov. I'm going to stop here. Again, we are off next week, and hopefully, I have something to. If I have time to do it, I'll do something next week. Otherwise, week after that.
Thanks, Manny. Have fun.
Trip.
Thank you. Yeah.